Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, people. It's your boy TP Timeless back at the helm. Y'all got 60 minutes with me, man. I'm about to get everything underway, man. A lot of stuff going on. The tournaments are buzzing. And, oh, yes, the state of Connecticut is back at it. For some odd reason, the state of Connecticut in the month of March, we got a lot of stuff to jump into, man. NFL going at it. College basketball. Man, I'm ready. I took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. Sports City, welcome to the round table.
Cutting top of Eco, the stack Fritos went from grams to kilos. Mac in one hand and the other hand, grams of Cinos. Game got my eyes wider than the 430 buggy. No telling what the fuck I do for this money. Stay posted up close, the killers and cutthroats. The thoroughest bitches doing the pussy stuff coat. As I cook and cut coat with the bacon soda, almond hammer, palm and hammer. Take you crazy, nigga, my flips bananas. Taking over with the mafia. Hitting niggas for they bricks like Rafia. The cockiest. It's obvious, it's me, he, who. Confirm for any niggas like you want it, well, nigga, me too. What the fuck? I'm calling the bluff. Niggas act like they stop making guns after they made yours. I'm sponsored by the NRA, DOA, you. Wish you stand over your coffin like, hey, you. Tell the devil I'm coming, keep it hot. For now, I got my eyes on the billboard spot. Don't stop, die for it. Take the stand, lie for it. No trial, get up in the chair, fry for it. Never telling the snitching, rather swim with the fishing. Motherfucker, respect it, the commission.
The calling number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chefs. And, man, we got a lot of stuff to jump into. Interesting game that went down in the American Athletic Conference. Connecticut is buzzing. I was getting hit up in the middle of the day. Ty, you see what's going on? I'm like, I know my hands are tied right now. I can't see it. And then I finally see what went down. And I know why the state is elated on what went down. But before everybody gets here, because they're telling me that they're going to make their way into the kitchen, so I at least get to explain some of these topics and dishes that I have and get these out of the way so I can speak open discussion on these and let people, you know, call in. 917-889-9592, sportscitychef.com. That is the website. Continue to show the love. Thank you for everybody that's been downloading, checking us out, giving us the love that we've been seeing on a day-by-day basis. First and foremost, and I'm glad I get to do this first, Johnny Manziel, a.k.a. Johnny Football, has been waived by the Cleveland Browns. Now, here goes the interesting thing that I look at. In the wake of this situation, you have another quarterback that comes out, one of the controversial quarterbacks in the NFL, after this past season or two. I want to go back as far as last season also, and Colin Kaepernick. Now, you have Johnny Manziel, and I'm wondering, and I kind of wanted to save this for everybody that got here, if he does get another stint somewhere in the NFL, which I still think that he has the capability of making a roster. I think his name actually rings bells just enough so people could come and see what he's going to do next. An elusive quarterback, makes plays on the go. He's one of a, he's a shorter realm of a quarterback, you know, not Doug Flutie type, but he definitely is going to have to try and make a name for himself. Now, here goes an interesting position. You got Colin Kaepernick trying to make his way from the San Francisco 49ers, saying that he wants to play for the Cleveland Browns, in which they have Hugh Jackson there as well. Now, this actually makes it interesting because this is like musical chairs quarterback edition, if you will. If you look at this situation, right, you have Johnny Manziel getting waived, then you got Colin Kaepernick who wants to go play for the Browns to play with. He said he wants to play for Hugh Jackson. And then you look at this situation, well, there's a wide opening situation in Denver right now. And this is probably where one of these quarterbacks can land. And now you already have a situation where RG3 has actually come out and said that he wants to go visit the New York Jets. Now, the Jets already have an interesting quarterback carousel as it is. Now, I actually, you know, I'm glad that I don't have everybody here. I'm glad that Chandler ain't here to hear me right now. But, oh, I was about to say it too. He here too. But I'm going to just allude to what I was going to say. Fitzpatrick actually had an interesting season. Even though a lot of people are down on him, I think Fitzpatrick had an interesting season to do what he could do with the offense in front of him. And also with Bryce Petty there. He knows that I'm a Bryce Petty supporter. I won't say a fan, but I know that this guy can throw the ball around too. They have him as well, and everybody's forgetting that they still have Geno there. But RG3 is actually going there. I don't know if he's going to steal the show to be one of the guys here at Broadway, but that makes it even more interesting at the quarterback position in New York. But this is an interesting quarterback carousel, if you will, for a lot of these guys on the move. And the interesting thing is if Johnny Manziel will get another shot in the league, which I think he can. Like I said, I think his name could ring bells, but I just wonder where. And there's a wide-open opportunity in Denver with Brock Osweiler making the move to Houston. I mean, Mark Sanchez, to me, I don't feel like he is the guy or the plan for tomorrow or for him to, you know, get what works with Gary Kubiak in that offensive system. I don't know. I mean, we've seen, you know, Sanchez have success. I don't want to put all of it on his shoulders on the run that they had in the AFC those 2 years and getting to the AFC championship game twice while he was there. But after that, it was, you know, questionable effort after questionable effort. I don't want to be one sitting up here totally calling out Mark Sanchez because, I mean, he like I said, he's had some success, but I think he has to get into a system that he's comfortable in and can make some things happen. But like I said, him going to Denver is looking like he's the guy there until another name may upseat him or, you know, as we approach preseason training camps or what have you, seeing another quarterback potentially beat him out for the job. But right now, I think there's a wide-open opportunity in Denver, even if Mark Sanchez is there. Okay, so the kitchen is filling up right now. We do have Nasir Diamonds in the building. Chandler, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I wasn't feeling well, and then listening to you, want to give chances to all these quarterbacks who don't deserve chances just made me a little bit sicker.
I'm sorry. I thought I had an opening for him. I didn't see nobody accused anything. You know, before I was getting ready to say you pop up, the timing, he timed me well for a city, so he caught me mid-sentence. And I also have breaking news, Brian. He's in the building. Brian, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm doing good, Ty. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. So from the news that we've heard on a lot of these quarterbacks making moves or what have you, you have Mark Sanchez on the go to Denver, which I'm not too thrilled about, but right now he's the guy. I think he's the guy right now in Denver. Johnny Manziel getting waived. I don't know if he gets another opportunity. I want to see how you guys feel about that. But you also got Colin Kaepernick wants to leave San Francisco, potentially going to Cleveland. Well, not saying he's going to Cleveland. He wants to play for Cleveland. RG3 trying to go to the Jets. A lot of opportunities for these guys. Chandler caught me out there, but Brian, you know what? I'll let you start it off, and then I'll go to Chandler afterward. Your thoughts on these quarterbacks on the go? A lot of men on the move as of this week.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there is a lot of quarterbacks on the move, and we've seen the dollar amounts, Ty, that the quarterbacks have been getting. I mean, you look at Brock Osweiler's deal that's paying him over $18 million a year. Chase Daniel signed a contract where he's making over $10 million a year. I mean, quarterbacks, you know, it is what it is. The quarterbacks are making large dollar amounts. So to be able to get a quarterback that has upside, that number is semi-cap friendly, is definitely a bonus. But the problem is most of these guys, they all have baggage or red flags. I mean, there's not one guy out there that you're thinking, you know, hey, this guy is the future of my organization, no doubt about it, including Colin Kaepernick. I mean, you know, everybody has an opinion, Ty, but I'll tell you right now that the reason why I feel like he wants to go to Cleveland, he says it's Hugh Jackson, I think it's because there's no expectation. The Cleveland fan base have zero expectation of winning. If he goes to the Jets or the Broncos, there is an expectation to win because the bar has already been set. The precedent has already been placed. So there is some type of precedent. I think it's an excellent move by John Elway to get Mark Sanchez, but if anybody thinks that Mark Sanchez is going to be the quarterback of the Denver Broncos by the start of the season, I disagree. I think they may be misguided. Mark Sanchez is a good backup quarterback. He's a guy that can win you one or two games in a pinch. I just don't know if he is a a starting quarterback at this point. I think that John Elway is still going to pursue other options, but when you are operating from the standpoint of having nothing, it makes your position very weak. And so he had to get some chips, whether they are good or bad. He had to have something in the bucket. And so now he can at least say, hey, I have a quarterback. I have a quarterback that started games last season. I've got a guy that's taken snaps under center. I've got a guy that's proven in the NFL to play in the playoffs, a guy that has won playoff games. And so for him, I think for Mark Sanchez, it's a great situation because regardless of who they bring in at this point, I think he's going to have a chance to compete. But all these quarterbacks have red flags. I mean, they really do. Even Ryan Fitzpatrick, who played phenomenal last year, I mean, you look at his career statistics. I mean, we've all talked about it, but, I mean, he's a guy that for his career typically throws as many interceptions as he does touchdowns. He had a great year last year, but, you know, who's to say that that's exactly what he would be like next year if he was playing for Denver or the Browns or anyone else. So all these quarterbacks have question marks, and the problem is I just don't think there's any answers in the draft. So these guys will be highly coveted.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on a lot of these guys that are on the move, potential of these guys in the landing spot, and I'm not even going to lie. I agree with Brian. I don't think that Mark Sanchez is the guy for a team that just won the Super Bowl. Like everybody left. You have Peyton retiring. You have Brock that doesn't even want to be around yet, and I don't blame him for following the dollar sign and, for the money that he could make, but for him to run with a team that he actually did well in managing this team for leaving there, I mean, there's an open door for them also for other quarterbacks to go there, mind you, and all of the other quarterbacks in the league that are on the go. And, I mean, I know you don't want to talk about them, but if you like to allude to Johnny Football, you can as well. Chandler, are you there?
Yeah, I had it muted. I'm trying to – I don't know – okay, first of all, the Mark Sanchez move, I understand how that's a good move. If he can only win maybe one or two games, and you're in the AFC West, and one or two games could mean the difference between you being in the playoffs and being out with the way the AFC West is shaking up. So to bring Mark Sanchez in, to me, doesn't make any sense at all. The guy's terrible, yet he keeps getting chances. He is a terrible quarterback. End of story. He is a terrible quarterback. Okay, he was in a comfortable system in Philly. How did that work out? He barely beat out Matt Barkley for a job. He barely beat out Matt Barkley, but yet somehow John – see, and here's the thing. Everybody keeps saying, oh, John Elway knows what he's doing. John Elway brought in Peyton Manning. That was a no-brainer. Anybody would have brought in Peyton Manning. John Elway doesn't have some track record for building teams as he's been given credit for. He doesn't have some track record for being some quarterback whisperer. He went from Peyton Manning to Mark Sanchez. And he's being given credit for this. When you had a quarterback in-house that you could have signed after the third game he played for probably 3 years and $30 million, and you wouldn't have to have Mark Sanchez on your team. Mark Sanchez has yet to meet an interception that he doesn't like to throw. He has yet to do that. I keep hearing you go, Ryan Fitzpatrick had a great year. Ryan Fitzpatrick threw 15 interceptions last year. 15 interceptions. We saw what he did when it mattered in a game. He imploded because he has always done well when there's no pressure. How did he do in Buffalo once he got the big contract and it was pressure? They couldn't get him out of town fast enough. They could not get him out of town fast enough. This is a guy who only twice in his career, three times in his career has he had less than double-digit interceptions. Only three times, two of those three times he played less than five games. In four games in 2005, he threw eight interceptions. He threw more interceptions than he had games played. But yet somehow, I keep hearing that Ryan Fitzpatrick is a great pickup. In what universe? In what reality is Ryan Fitzpatrick a great pickup for anybody? He won because they put him in a system where all they asked him to do was not throw interceptions, and the one game that Todd Bowles totally mismanaged by having Chris Ivory on the bench, he said, "I'm going to let Ryan throw us to a playoff game." And he threw them out of the playoffs. So you got two guys that people keep saying will be a good fit in places like Denver where they need a quarterback who will not throw interceptions, and that is all these guys do is throw interceptions in big moments. Colin Kaepernick, if you have never listened to Cleveland Sports Talk Radio, then you don't understand how much exact pressure there is going to be on him in that city. Because, see, there's nothing else going on in Cleveland during football season. Ain't nothing else going on. He thinks he got pressure and people calling him out in California. They got nothing else to do but call Sports Talk Radio there. Nothing else to do. All the media, they go right to the Browns. He's going to be under tremendous pressure there. Because keep in mind, there's a large segment of that fan base that wants Johnny Manziel, believe it or not. So the first game he goes up there and throws three interceptions, it costs him a game, he's going to have to answer questions about Johnny Manziel, who's not even there. Oh, and by the way, why in the hell does Johnny Manziel deserve another chance? I've heard Mark Sanchez, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Colin Kaepernick, Robert Griffin III has done none of the things these guys have done. None of them. He's been a far better person, character, whatever you want to call it, than any of the people I've mentioned. Any of them. But nobody wants to give him a shot. But we want to say Johnny Manziel could probably get another shot somewhere. Why? What has he done to earn it? Robert Griffin III was a number one pick. They sat him on the bench, made him a third string, and now they had him running a scout team. Did he say a word? Did he complain? Did he make any noise? Did you even know he was still on the team? But Colin Kaepernick and Mark Sanchez was still going out doing GQ covers and photo shoots, but can't not throw an interception. Got Colin Kaepernick, he got mad because they benched him, so he said, "Oh, I'm going to have my shoulder operated on. Screw you." They said, "We want you to be here." He said, "Screw you, I want to trade." But yet somehow these guys are better fits than Robert Griffin. I don't understand that at all. I think that's the dumbest move that Elway made. I think Elway is trying to prove he's smarter than everybody and is going to blow up in his face. To have Mark Sanchez on your team is to guarantee that your team will not win. The Jets won in spite of Mark Sanchez, not because of him. They won because of LaDainian Tomlinson and all the veterans they put around him and the running game and the defense. That's why they won. And in the one game that they needed him to make a pass, in the two AFC championship games where they needed him to make a throw, he couldn't make the throw. When he was in Philly and they put him in the game that he lost, those were games where they needed him to step up, and he couldn't step up because he's not built for it. He's not built for it. Don't even talk to me about Bryce Petty when obviously they don't believe in Bryce Petty. They're talking about Brian Hoyer for the Jets. Brian Hoyer. And you keep saying Bryce Harper, they obviously have no faith in Bryce Harper. Why did you draft him then? If you were not going to give him a shot, why did you draft him? I'm no Bryce Harper guy, but damn. He can't be worse than Brian Hoyer. He certainly can't be worse than Geno. Oh, and by the way, Ryan Fitzpatrick cost us the playoffs. Only one of those interceptions he threw can you blame on the receiver. The others were all on him. All on him. And that's been his track record since he's been in the league. But let's all gloss over that. Let's all act like that doesn't matter. The Jets still didn't make the playoffs with him at quarterback. So don't tell me he's a winning quarterback, because he's not. He hasn't gotten any team to the playoffs. And what, he's supposed to go to Denver, and this is a team that's looking to repeat as a Super Bowl champion? They're looking to repeat, even though we all know they're not. But you're talking about looking at winning the AFC West. You're not going to win a damn division with Ryan Fitzpatrick. You're not going to win a division with Mark Sanchez. Colin Kaepernick, listen, I don't know what the hell he's thinking, but to go to Cleveland in an offense that is not designed for you, where they want you to be a drop-back passer, and you are not a pocket passer. By any stretch of the imagination, you are not a pocket passer. Seems to me to be cutting off his nose despite his faith. I get the fact that he doesn't want to be in San Francisco because he realizes that that management are a bunch of snakes, and they will throw him under the bus at the first opportunity, just like they did last season. Last season, everything that went wrong got blamed on Colin Kaepernick, even though they just ran a coach out the door that took them to a Super Bowl. But all of a sudden, now it was Colin Kaepernick's fault. So I get that part of it. To want to go to Cleveland, must be out your rabbit-ass mind. I don't understand what they're doing right now with these quarterbacks. My question remains the same, and I'm going to keep asking it. How in the hell are you putting any of these guys ahead of Robert Griffin III?
Which one of these quarterbacks do you think has the better opportunity of having success in at least the years to come? I won't even say this year. I'll put a window up in years to come. Let's say 2 to 4 years. Which one of these quarterbacks, whether you could throw Brock Osweiler in the situation, I doubt if Sanchez would be the guy, or Kaepernick, what he does, or if RG3 does end up landing in New York with your team, or, you know, any situation suitable for a lot of these quarterbacks on the go, who do you think has the potential to see a brighter tomorrow?
Well, Robert Griffin is not going to do better than any of them because Robert Griffin is not going to get a chance. It's obvious to me that nobody is going to give Robert Griffin a chance. It's obvious to me. He can say he wants to go to the Jets. The Jets aren't going to sign him. So he's going to wind up, if he gets to go anywhere, it'll be as a backup. So he's never going to get a shot. So you can take him off the board. I think Brock Osweiler will be given more opportunities than the rest of them. So he should, theoretically, have the brighter future because he has more upside and he's only played 7 games. What was it, 8? It's 6-1 or 6-2, something like that.
Seven.
So he's only played seven or eight games.
Seven. He was 5-2. He was 5-2. With
5-2. Okay. So he's only played 7 games. So by the sheer laws of math, he has the best opportunity to have the brightest future because they paid him $72 million. He's going to get every opportunity to succeed. Okay, he's going to get 2 seasons at a minimum to prove that he's the number one quarterback. He's going to get 2 seasons at a minimum. But, you know, Sanchez, I think John Elway is stupid enough to believe that Mark Sanchez can manage the game for them and get them back into the playoffs. I think Elway's that stupid right now. I really do. Because if your backup plan to Brock Osweiler was Mark Sanchez, I'm going to call you stupid. I don't care what Elway did on the field as a quarterback. The only quarterback he brought in there that did anything was Peyton Manning, and it's not difficult to think that Peyton Manning wouldn't be successful no matter where he went. But Mark Sanchez as your backup plan, you're stupid. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is not going to be back with the Jets because he wants, you know, $15 million a year. You can't give that man 15. He'll take the 7 or he'll go somewhere else. If you give Ryan Fitzpatrick starting quarterback money, I'm not watching the Jets ever again in life. I'm done with that team. Because there's no way in hell Ryan Fitzpatrick is $15 million a year. I don't care what the going rate starting quarterback is. If the New York Jets, who they've already screwed up this offseason as far as I'm concerned, if they sign Ryan Fitzpatrick to anything more than $10 million a year, I will never watch the Jets again.
Rough stuff. That is rough stuff. Okay, let me paint this picture. And, Taylor, I want you to be as, you know, least, you know, objective as possible. If, and this is a strong if because I really don't feel like this can happen, but if Sanchez is to run the show in Denver, the last time he was successful, he had a strong defense in the New York Jets twice. They got to the AFC Championship game twice where they weren't able to get over the hump, and I think I could blame that on his youth, him being young in the game and not really having that experience. Knowing all the lumps that he's taken, knowing that he's been in situational times of the game and turning the ball over for that nature. He has not really been in front of another defense like that. He is in front of the number one ranked defense right now in the Denver Broncos. What is the ceiling of wins for him in Denver if he does end up running the show in Colorado?
Between 7 and 9, because that's not the same defense anymore. It's already not the same defense. Look at the players that have already walked away from that franchise on the defensive side of the ball. They had to franchise tag Von Miller. In order for them to give Von Miller a contract, if you look at the contract Olivier Vernon just got, Von Miller is going to take up all your cap space. So you're not going to be able to bring in any experienced guys. So you're looking at the draft. Okay, most of the guys you could bring in the draft, defensive rookies, it's few and far between that make immediate impacts. It takes them a year or two. So if you look at that and take all those things into account, this is not the same. He is not the quarterback of one of the best defenses in the past 40 years. That was the Broncos quarterback team last year. That is not the defense he's going to have. The quarterback that they bring in there is actually going to have to win them some games because San Diego Chargers have gotten better, a lot better. Mm-hmm. The Oakland Raiders, oh, my God, have gotten better. Okay? So if you think that they're going to steamroll that division again, you got another thing coming. So with Mark Sanchez, that quarterback, and knowing that he is going to have to win you some games, the most games I see them winning is 9.
Okay, and now that Peyton Manning is out of the picture, who is the forefront team in that AFC West? I definitely say it's up for grabs, but who do you think is it? Is it the Chiefs? Is it the Raiders with the team that they have now? Your thoughts?
It's the Chiefs. It's the Raiders. Listen, I'll even go so far as saying the Chargers with the acquisitions that they've made. I think the AFC West is wide open. I think any of those four teams can win the AFC West, and I think only one team is going to come out of the AFC West. I think you're going to have a bunch of 9 and 7 teams in the AFC West.
Okay. Fair enough. I mean, that's a great opinionated question. I just wanted to throw that one out there. Outside of this quarterback situation, anybody else that you like to talk about in this quarterback carousel that they have going on? And also with the Brock Osweiler situation, him going to Houston, I mean, all he has really is Hopkins. I don't know what else he has down there in Houston that, appeases him other than that money situation. And that's the one thing that made me raise my eyebrows, because he's not only given an opportunity to start, but he's going away from a team that just won the Super Bowl, but he's going to a team that, has J.J. Watt and has guys like Cushing and Clowney, but their defense hasn't really had that turnover. And the question does remain in that defensive and offensive backfield if they can get consistent play. They're going to need that consistent play down there in Houston, but it was just extremely questionable to me on why Brock made that move, other than the money.
Well, if you look at the team, the reason that defense kind of wore down as the season went on was because the offense was terrible. The offense was 3 and out. The defense was constantly on the field. With Brock Osweiler, the defense will not be on the field as much. He will manage the game, and he won't throw a billion interceptions. In that offense with Bill O'Brien, they brought in Lamar Miller, who actually is a good running back. Okay? So you run the ball, you make the pass, you give Brock the throw that he's good at. You don't ask him this first season to make the throw that he's not good at, and you let him develop. And you ask your running game, your special teams, and your defense to keep the game close. And you win a lot of games with field goals. That's a perfect situation for a young quarterback. It's a perfect situation. He's not being asked to throw the ball 30 times a game. He doesn't have to, because they're going to have a running game, and their defense is good when they're allowed to, breathe for more than 5 seconds before they have to go back on the field. So if you take all that into account, add in the money, and let's not forget the fact, listen, he might have said all the right things and did all the right things. He was not happy that they benched him for some damn broken down Peyton Manning. Come on, man. You really think that he trusted Elway after that? He was going to leave unless they offered him you know, a boatload of money. And I don't blame him because he was better than Peyton Manning. If you took the name Manning off the back of his jersey, you tell me who would have put that man in as a starting quarterback last season. Nobody would have.
Nobody.
You understand what I'm saying? So Gronk, as a competitor, was saying, listen, I don't give a damn if his name is Manning. I'm better than him. You benching me for this bum? So, yeah, I take all that into account and say that's why he left. But if you really look at it, see, people say, oh, Brock Osweiler, what's he going to do? He ain't got this, he ain't got that. All he has to do, Ty, is throw the ball 25 times or less a game. That's all he has to do. And limit his interceptions. If he finishes the year with 10 interceptions or less, it is a successful season for him. Because remember, he's only played 7 games. And there is tape on him. So some of his tendencies are known now. So people can actually scheme for him. So all he has to do, his interception number has to be 10 or less. I'll give you maybe 12. Say 12 or less has to be his interception number. If he does that, Tennessee Titans win that division. If his interception total is 12 or less, they will win the division.
Okay. And interesting situation with another notable name. I'm going to say notable. Brent Grimes being released by the Miami Dolphins. And knowing that he's an interesting defensive back in the league, he didn't even have to move far. He went to Tampa Bay. Now, we all know, you know, year in, year out, it's a hit or miss situation with Tampa's defense. With them adding Grimes to an interesting front seven that they do have, what is the ceiling for him? And he already has his wife actually speaking outside of her face. And, you know, all of the stuff that she's talking about Miami is another thing. But Brent Grimes going to Tampa Bay, is that a big pickup or no?
I think it is. Grimes is a really good cornerback, and his wife no longer has a Twitter or an Instagram account. That was probably part of the deal with him signing with the Buccaneers. Because remember, they made Jameis Winston get off Twitter and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
The Buccaneers organization, but with the structure that was set up by Lovie Smith, who they knifed in the back and threw overboard, you ain't going to be doing that stuff on social media. So I think it's a great move for him. The problem is that I don't think that team is going to be good under that coach. But I think Brent Grimes will play great. But I think that team is going to stink because I don't think the players are going to trust the coach because of what happened with Lovie. I think that that everybody in that locker room knows that he went behind Lovie's back and basically screwed him out of a job, which means that you can't trust him. You can't trust anything he says. And when you don't trust your coach, you don't play hard for your coach. So I think we're actually going to see a regression in Tampa Bay. But speaking strictly about Brent Grimes, I think he made the right move going to Tampa. I think he's going to do well. I just think the team itself is going to stink.
You know, I don't know. They could potentially get better, especially with Jameis Winston. We'll see. They also hung on to Doug Martin. If Doug Martin could actually stay healthy for a full season, I definitely think that is a problematic situation for a lot of teams across the league. If he can stay healthy. That's if he can stay healthy. But we have to see if he can stay on the field, one, and if he's buying into this new system that they do have down there, you know. So, and the coach that they do have down there is Dirk Cotter. That's down there now, and that's after the departure of Lovie Smith. The call-in number is 917-889-9592. We do have Brian back in the building. Brian, welcome back. How are you feeling?
Doing good, boys. Apologize. We got some pretty nasty weather out here, so I lost you for a moment.
Nasty weather in Southern California? I've never heard of it.
Me neither.
Okay, so your thoughts on some of the things that we just mentioned, or obviously the Brent Grimes situation, him going to Tampa Bay, especially with Tampa Bay able to hang on to Doug Martin for another 5 years as well. Your thoughts on that, or something else that you'd like to touch on as well?
Well, I like the Brent Grimes signing. I think he is one of the more underrated cornerbacks in the league. You know, he's a guy that, you know, everybody looks at the height, weight, arm length ratio. Everybody wants a cornerback that's, you know, 6'2 and runs a 4.2. And, you know, if you don't fit that mold, you know, you're not a number one corner per se. But, I mean, we've seen in previous games, especially you as a Lions fan, Ty, that, you know, Brent Grimes can hold his own with just about anybody. He's a good player. You know, Jameis Winston, as a rookie last year, this was a top five rated offense. So offensively, I don't think there's a whole lot of questions. Now, Logan Mankins retired, so you got a huge, you know, just from a leadership perspective, you've got a huge hole to fill on the offensive line. The right tackle's gone. So they have some shuffling to do on the offensive line. The real questions for me, though, are on the defensive side of the ball. How are they going to improve? How are they going to get better? What are they going to do in this offseason to do those things? And I think primarily most would agree that they need to be on the defensive side of the ball. And Brent Grimes is definitely a good start to that equation.
Ty, you still there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I actually was addressing something else. Okay. Now, something in my neighborhood that I actually want to throw out to you guys and see how you guys feel about this is the situation of the Patriots taking care of business in their receiving corps. They have went to the Buffalo Bills receiver, or former Buffalo Bills receiver, let me say it correctly, and Chris Hogan, and bringing him to the New England Patriot organization. Do you think he could be another weapon? Now, I'm not even going to lie. He actually had some impressive plays with the Buffalo Bills in this past season. He's a deep threat type of receiver also. Can he be another hired gun in the caliber of the New England Patriots team? Brian, I'll come to you.
I don't know, Ty. I might be the only one that feels this way, but I feel like, are we so starved for NFL and NFL information that we've lowered ourselves to talking about the Patriots signing Hogan? I mean, he's a good receiver. I'm sure he'll probably end up being like a number two or three for them, but the bottom line is Brady plays with a lot of guys that are obscure before they get there and obscure when they leave there and play well when they play with him. Granted, he did have some success in Buffalo. I think it's a good signing because I'm sure they signed him on the cheap. I just, to me, this isn't really a big free agent story. This is typical New England Patriot type signing.
And that's why I look at it like that, because I think they could get maximum potential out of this guy, being a name that's under the radar. Like, let's be honest, knowing that Amendola was a big name, you know, catch-wise in St. Louis, didn't anybody really think that he'd be an added component to the New England Patriots. Knowing that they just got rid of LaFell, a guy that I don't think ever showed up big, whether if he was in Carolina or being in New England, I think that this could be another situation, you know, like how they were just adjusting to, you know, with the Troy Brown situation and having him with David Gibbons and Deion Branch, names that people aren't really concerned about that can add to this team. I was just throwing that out there that if he could be another, you know, key potential guy in his wide receiver core. But I do agree that as of now, this isn't a name that holds weight. I do agree. But I think that down the road, we will be looking at this like, where did New England make this happen? How is Bill Belichick making this happen? But you're right. I do agree that this is a situation that I may be picking that straw, but I think that this could be a big pickup in the long run. Chandler, if there's anything that you like to add to it or get away from it.
I think the Chris Hogan signing is huge, personally. because Chris Hogan is an up-and-coming kid that in a couple of seasons we're going to be talking about him a lot and talking about how the hell did the Buffalo Bills let him go. This is also a thing where it's going to affect other players on that roster. His cap hit is going to be $5.5 million. That means that Danny Amendola, who's going to count $6.8 million on the cap, he's going to have to take some money. He's going to have to restructure his contract. And if he doesn't, you know New England can say, see you later, bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not sentimental in New England. Okay, they're not sentimental. You can restructure your contract. You can go play for somebody else. And let's be clear, Danny Amendola is not somebody that's going to go to another team and be some star receiver. He's just not. He fits in what they do. Okay? That's why when he was in St. Louis, yeah, you knew his name, but all you really knew his name for was he kept getting knocked out. And all everybody can say, man, if he could ever stay on the field, he might be something. So you got Amendola, you got Hogan, and Julian Edelman has a $4.4 million cap hit. So you're going to potentially have close to $16 million in cap hits for three receivers. You know New England's not doing that. That's not how they do business. That is not happening. So I think the Hogan signing is a big deal in the sense that it's going to impact what the Patriots are doing, and it may cost them one of their wide receivers that they have. And maybe that's why they signed Chris Hogan, because they want to move on from Amendola, who can't stay healthy. Or maybe they want to move on from Julian Edelman, who can't stay healthy. To me, this is actually a big deal because of the ramifications of them signing him.
Okay, Brian, anything that you'd like to add to that before we get away from it?
No, we're good.
Okay. One more free agency topic, and I'm going to get away from all the free agent stuff, and I kind of wanted to, you know, jump NBA, try to keep it in the ballpark for everybody to kind of be comfortable. The one I wanted to jump at was the Sean Smith situation. You have one player going from the Chiefs to the Raiders and being one of the more notable corners on this team for the Chiefs, going to the division rival and knowing how big this rivalry is between the Raiders and the Chiefs. What did this help this Raider team do? And you know, what key factors can he bring to this team against a team like the Chiefs, who's actually been right in the rear view of the Denver Broncos, if you will? Chandler, I'll let you start off with Sean Smith, the bigger cornerback, one of the bigger quarterbacks in the league.
I think that what the Raiders are doing, that is it Reggie or Rob, whichever McKenzie twin they got, are doing a tremendous job. Tremendous. The lineman they got from Baltimore, Sean Smith. If you look at Kansas City right now, they've lost some players. They've kept a couple of guys, but the Chiefs are vulnerable. You know, they don't know with the whole Jamal Charles thing. You know, he can't stay healthy. You know, Jeremy Maclin can't stay healthy. And now you weakened your defense. I'm telling you, I think the Oakland Raiders have as good a shot to win that division as any team, because they've made moves that made sense both financially and on the field. You know, they didn't break the bank to bring anybody in there, but they brought in some quality pieces. They brought in quality guys who will fit into spots. They got square pegs for square holes, which is what you need to do in free agency. You don't want to get a square peg, try to push them in a round hole. They got square pegs for square holes, and the square pegs they got are pretty good pegs. I like what Oakland is doing, man. I'm telling you, I like what Oakland is doing. And I think it just – I'm telling you right now, to me, that gives them just as good – what they've done in this offseason gives them just as good a chance to win the AFC West as any other team in the West.
Thank you with that receiver, for. Brian, your thoughts on the Sean Smith situation, him leaving Kansas City, going to the division foe, Oakland Raiders? Do you think he actually helps this defense, especially while they watch Chuck Woodson walk out of the door as well? Did we lose Brian? Brian, are you still there? Okay, we might have lost Brian on that situation. Okay, I actually had one more situation, Chandler, before we get away from it also. Your thoughts on the team that actually shares the stadium with your Jets in the New York Giants. Not only did they bring in Olivier Vernon, a Hurricane, which I know so well personally, I mean personally, not just because of my allegiance with the Hurricanes, I know him personally, and Janoris Jenkins, they the big-time cornerback that they get from the St. Louis, no, let me say it right, the Los Angeles Rams. As of now, they're working on that defense. That defense is becoming an issue right now that they're working on before they head to the draft and get ready for, you know, the training camps and what have you. Your thoughts on the Giants making moves, not now, but right now?
Giants have the best defense in the NFC East. Period. End of story. I told you that the Jets were going to screw this up. Told you they were going to screw this up. And you didn't believe me. Told you that's why I didn't want Todd Bowles as my head coach. Because Mo Wilkerson will not be there next year. Okay, I'm telling you that right now. They're going to get rid of Mo Wilkerson. Okay? Because they're putting all their eggs in the Sheldon Richardson basket. So let me just put that out there right now. The Jets are going to get rid of Mo Wilkerson. David Harrison snacks. For people that don't understand, this is a kid from a Division III school who was undrafted. And Rex Ryan brought this kid in there and taught him how to play nose tackle. Now, I get that he was in a 3-4 defense, and now he's going to a 4-3. But he got successful because he said Rex Ryan told him one thing. Hold your ground and let the linebackers make plays. Now, in a Steve Spagnuolo defense, they're going to ask him to do a couple of things that he's not used to being asked to do, which is rush upfield. But we know the Giants' run defense was terrible last year, okay? You got him, and what's the other kid's name they got there? The other the other defensive tackle. I lost his name.
Damon Harrison?
They got Damon Harrison. It's another D tackle, the one they had last year. Is it Buckner or something like that? Or Brent? I can't hold on. Hold on. Let me pull it because I can't remember his name to save my life. What I'm looking at, though, is you got Olivier Vernon. You brought back Jason Pierre-Paul. You got Damon Harrison. Oh, Jonathan Hankins, who's 6'2 and 320, mind you. 6'2 and 320, okay? You brought in Damon Harrison, who is all of 330 to 350. Just remember the Williams twins in Minnesota? Or the Williams boys?
Yeah, Pat and Kevin.
The Vikings had?
Pat and Kevin,
recreated that. You just recreated that. And let's be honest, nobody ran on those Vikings teams. You wasn't running on them. You was not running on them. What did that allow? That allowed John Randall to do what? Go upfield and hit the cornerback. That allowed those linebackers to do what? Get upfield and make plays. I love what the Giants did. I hate what the Jets did. But I love what the Giants did, and I hate the Giants. The Giants' defense now is arguably, depending on what they do at cornerback, which they can only get better because the Mukamara is gone, so that automatically makes them better. He's gone. So just by him leaving, their defense got better. Okay. Now, Janoris Jenkins, he's going to have to stop being lazy at the end of the game to give him a big plays at the end of the game. And trust me, Spagnuolo ain't going to let that happen. You know, so right now, when you start talking about top defenses in the NFC, the Giants are somewhere around 6 or 7 right now. Right now, they're somewhere around 6 or 7. Right now. And they haven't even drafted anybody yet. And you know they're going to draft some defensive players. You already know that. Okay? So right now, that defense to me is already a top 10 defense in the NFC. And they still have work to do.
Do you think Janoris Jenkins actually helped sharpen the even more electric Odell Beckham as well?
No, actually, I think Odell Beckham helps Jenkins. Because he's going to get tired of getting toasted in practice and in training camp.
Right.
And he's going to have to step his game up. And we know Janoris Jenkins has the ability to step his game up. He has the ability to be talked about as a top corner in this league. The reason he isn't is because he gives up big plays, and when he gives up those big plays, you can see it's sheerly because he's not focused. You can call it laziness, lack of focus, whatever you want to call it. He gives up big plays because he doesn't do what he's supposed to do when he's supposed to do it. Not that he can't do it. He's just decided that he wants to do something else. He wants to freelance and all that other nonsense. He's a far more physically gifted Antonio Cromartie. If Antonio Cromartie had ever just focused on his craft, Antonio Cromartie could have been a shutdown corner. But what did he like to do? He liked to stare into the backfield. Oh, I can make it up because I'm fast. I'm long. And yeah, that worked until his body started breaking down. Janoris Jenkins reminds me of Antonio Cromartie. I just hope his career turns out better.
Okay. I know you've probably been hearing the buzz around the country, but of course, the state of Connecticut is in the midst of this situation. Have you heard of this four overtime thriller with Connecticut surviving a 0.8 of a second scare up against Cincinnati? Chandler, are you there?
Yeah, I took the dog over for a play date with another dog here in the complex. So I'm sitting there, and you know me, I'm scrolling through my Twitter feed, things like that. And somebody posted on Twitter, wow. And it's UConn and whoever they were playing, Cincinnati. And I see the score, and it's 88-85, and I see somebody make like a three-quarter court shot. And I'm like, okay, please tell me that this game is in, that UConn was the home team. Please tell me that UConn was the home team. Please tell me that UConn was the home team. UConn was the home team. This was a team in the dark jersey that hit the three-quarter shot. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. Now, when I got in, while I was listening to you on the thing, I'm scrolling. I pulled up the ESPN page, and I'm scrolling to be like, okay, please tell me that they didn't go ahead and win that game. And then I see the words UConn and survives in four overtime. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. Really? You let this cat get off the shot. He hits it. You know, I don't even know who hit the shot, any of that. Okay? So I'm going to guess that the dude that hit the shot is not somebody you'd expect to hit that shot, because that's about the way this thing is going to play out in my head. There's some dude who they never expected to hit the shot. He threw up, they hit the shot, and then they went on to win. And how close am I here?
Right on target. Jalen basically gets the ball with 0.8 of a second and drilled it from three-quarter court. And that's something that everybody could dream of, that type of shot. And it's something about Connecticut, and knowing I'm not a Huskies fan at all, and I go at it with everybody I know about the UConn Huskies, just knowing that, you know, my news team was going crazy on the situation, I'm like, let me see what happened. He hits this shot. And I'm like, okay, and knowing that this type of shot, this type of situation, pandemonium or what have you, this is a great momentum adrenaline shot for the UConn Huskies moving forward within this tournament. And if they do end up dancing into the big dance, which I think they will, it's just something about the Huskies, especially in the month of March and approaching April. Now, I know they probably don't have the guns to, you know, get to another Elite Eight or Final Four, definitely a title shot. But this is what Kevin Ollie needs out of this group. I mean, nobody would expect that UConn to be in this scenario.
No, and the thing is, what's scary about it is this is how he won his first championship, isn't it? A team that everybody says, yeah, they might do a little damage, but they're not going far. Then they won a tournament. They're still in the Big East then, right? They won the Big East, I think, and they shouldn't have. Then they won some games and ended up they shouldn't have. And next thing you know, they're in a championship game, which they won, and they shouldn't have. This, right? And this is where I was talking about how wide open this freaking NCAA tournament is. This game right here, and it's UConn. Listen, they're going to the Final Four. Pencil them in for the Final Four right now. Because there's certain teams that do certain things at this time of year, and when they do it, you pencil them in for the Final Four. Michigan State starts beating everybody. Pencil them in for the Final Four. You know what I'm saying? It just is what it is, man. It's something about certain schools. And they get a signature win that they should not get. Boom. Pencil them in. Pencil them in. Pencil them in. I'm saying right now, UConn's going to the Final Four. UConn's going to the Final Four. UConn's going to the Final Four. It's ridiculous.
I am not comfortable with you saying that. Because I know I'm going to have to deal with all of this madness, especially with everybody hearing me talk junk about the hometown team, because I'm not a Husky fan. But I have like 1/16th of a liking for them because I live here. Only thing that keeps my state relevant is the Huskies four-letter network. That's it. But, they do what they need to do. And this isn't even a Calhoun team. This is a Kevin Ollie team. And they just escaped. Well, they ended up pouring it on in that fourth overtime. They won by 7. But still, yeah, they just barely got there. Okay, so we are at the tail end of the show. I need a fucking closeout from you as we get ready to shut down the round table. Excellent stuff. I can't wait to see more stuff happening with these quarterbacks as, you know, time goes on. Is there still availability? Why wouldn't the Broncos go after RG3 before Mark Sanchez? I mean, things that make you go, like he really has that much on him from what Gruden painted of a picture? Hey, who knows? Who knows? You got C.J. Anderson that went down to Miami. I mean, everybody's leaving Denver after they won the championship, so it's really going to look bad in Denver? I don't know. But, Chandler, I need to plug, close out. Anything that you'd like to shout out or promote before we shut it down here at the roundtable?
My nephew doing his thing, jschickmusic.com. It is, you know what, baseball has started. I'm so happy that baseball is going right now. I think it's going to be a lot of good teams. And Goose Gossage, you need to shut the hell up. Shut up, Goose Gossage. You played in an era where there was so much racism in baseball, it's not funny. You played for a team that was the next to last team to integrate. You have no legs to stand on to criticize anybody that told me how they're a disgrace to their race. You got no legs to stand on, okay? You are a big redneck, Billy Bob asshole, okay? And nobody wants to hear you. Nobody wants to hear you, okay? No one wants to hear you. You sound like a fool. You sound like a fool, okay? Because I watched Reggie Jackson pose for many a home run. I watched Steve Garvey pose. I watched a whole lot of guys pose in the era that you played in that you claim nobody did it, okay? And for you to talk about somebody's a disgrace to all the Latin players that came before, how the hell would you know? There weren't that many Latin players on the Yankees. And the ones that were there, like Ed Figueroa, never got any credit. So you need to shut the hell up and stop embarrassing yourself and my franchise. Go away. Go back to the mountains. Go hunt you some sheep and shut up.
Go ahead, Tracy. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We'll be back here Sunday with the brunch. I may do something tomorrow. Stay tuned. If I do it, it'll be early morning. I do it 11 and the 12. I don't want to carry into the games, but 11 to 12, especially if something interesting does happen within the college basketball thing. I do want to get a tailgate out there while we are in the midst of the madness here in March. And I mean, just with this shot in Connecticut, I mean, it's just something about basketball this month of March. And just like Chandler said, baseball is here. You're hearing more from Bryce Harper. You're hearing from these pitching staffs or what have you as time goes on. And, of course, you know, I got my eyes in the middle of America on my version of the pinstripe. So I want to see how these guys end up making things happen. But Sports City, y'all stay tuned, man. We got a lot of stuff going on. Pay attention to us, Twitter, Facebook as well. Thank you to everybody that's been checking us out on iTunes as well. These numbers have been looking amazing. Keep supporting the Sports City Chefs. Y'all already know the slogan. Tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Rather swim with the fishing, motherfucker respected the commission.